I will be reading James 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means eternity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God.
Morning. Welcome. Visitors, welcome. Great to see you. Great to have you with us this morning. I want to welcome you back. We've got lots of visitors. I think everybody we've at least met once before, some many times, some it's been a while, so we're glad you're back. I think we have one that we just met, and we're glad that you're with us. But the folks, the guys you're hanging out with, we've met a time or two before. And maybe one day you'll take their name, reckon? I'm picking it, Miss Short. But we're glad that everybody is here and here to worship today and study from the Scripture. What causes us to be selfish? What causes us to fight and quarrel? I think those are really relevant questions for all of us, because I don't know of anybody that doesn't battle that at some level or another. And it is difficult. Sometimes it expresses itself in all kind of ways. Sometimes it's expressed itself on, was it Black Friday? Isn't it? Black Friday is the Friday after Thanksgiving. It's not Good Friday, it's Black Friday. Well, there's always a story. I'm not sure how much it happens, but, you know, we always got to find at least one story where it happens somewhere, where people get in a fight and a scuffle over the big screen TV that's on sale or whatever the item might be. But people get there early and push their way through to get those values, right? I want to make sure I get it before what? Before it's gone. Before somebody else gets it. And so we fight. Sometimes we fight to be first in line. Maybe first in line for a meal. I like that myself. Have to fight that. Last Saturday, a week ago, Grace and Mike took me for my birthday to a concert, which I enjoyed at Bluegrass Underground, which was a great time. But it was general admission. And what I did not see, surprisingly, there wasn't a lot of fighting about it. But sometimes what happens if you're going somewhere where all the seating is general admission? People want to get there early to get the best seats, right? And what about folks mentioning concerts who camp out for days on the side of the street to be the first when tickets go on sale, or be the first to get the latest iPhone? You know, we'll put out a tent and all that stuff. Wanting to be first, make sure they get theirs before someone else gets it. And there's something in us that does it. Now, sometimes that's, I think, kind of for fun. You know, sometimes it's, I camped out to get this, and it's a great experience, and I'm making a memory. Sometimes we really have this jealousy, this selfishness in us that says, I want to make sure I get mine, that I get what I'm looking for, that I get my wants satisfied. Now, I want to talk about the root of that for a moment, and then we'll look a little more at James' passage. What in us that causes us to do that is our dependence or our thinking that we are dependent upon ourselves and grasping all the opportunities appropriately and on time and being at the right place at the right time and doing what we have to do to get ahead, right? That's what fuels that. that I have got to know the right moves, and I've got to make the right move at the right time to get to where I need to get to. I never watched Tales from the Crypt, I think was the name of it. But I watched it one time, I think, and they're pretty, if you don't like, sometimes they're hard to sleep after you watch them. But there was one where these two ladies were fighting over a modeling job in some kind of pageant, okay? You know, who was going to win the pageant to get this modeling job. So this one model wanted to win so badly that she killed the other model to win. And so she got the job. But guess what the pageant was she won? It's very strange. It was Miss Autopsy. And the theme, I still remember, it's what's inside that counts. And so the next time you see her, she is laid open in an autopsy fashion. The reason I say that, she thought she was winning some great prize to the point of actually killing her competition, and it wound up being something that cost her her own life. It was a weird show, but you think about that one for a while. I think about it every now and then. It kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies, whatever those are. But it is this thought that I want to get ahead in my career, in my life. I want to get this thing that I want. And so I'll do whatever it takes to get it. And that's what makes us be selfish and jealous and covetous of each other. In fact, James says we covet to the point of killing. And I think the term is we might literally kill, or as we talk about this, we might hate. We hate someone because they've got something we want, or we perceive they've gotten in our way in getting what we want. And all of that stems from the fact that we feel a need to be dependent upon ourselves, and the Scripture and the Lord is trying to teach us that we need to learn to be dependent on God. We need to learn to be dependent on God, and that God will lead our paths, and God will bless us, and God will give us those things that we need. I hope you believe that. Because if we can believe that, and it becomes the core of our being, it will change our hearts and our lives. If we believe it is God who provides, it is God who makes the way. And it's God who's always made the way. And I'll give you examples that we've heard of before. Moses is chosen to lead God's people. But what decision did Moses make that prepared him for that role or advanced him toward that role? Now, I know he made the decision to kill the Egyptian and to leave and all those things, but Moses didn't even know that role existed, much less did he seek that role, right? God had prepared him and God called him. Joseph is a great man in the history of God's people who saved the people of God from starvation. Joseph really sought that job, didn't he? When he was sold as a slave, when he was imprisoned, God prepares Joseph for that role. Not Joseph himself. When the people of Israel needed food in the desert, what great invention or ingenuity did they come up with that fed them? Not a single one. God took care of them. God took care of them. So God takes care of His people. So why should we be selfish and jealous and covetous when it is God who provides for us? I hope we can gather that into our not only our minds, but into our hearts, that it is God who cares for us, so that then we can seek God and trust Him. Because what does Jesus say? What about our basic needs? I bet you remember. Jesus talks about the birds and the plants, right? That the birds don't sow. I guarantee you this morning, The birds are not one bit concerned about the price of fertilizer. That is not the discussion that the birds are chirping about this morning. Is fertilizer prices, or seed prices, or are we going to have a drought or a late spring? But God's going to feed them, right? Or the plants, God's going to clothe them. How much more will He take care of us? How much more does He care about us? But Jesus also says this, if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be given to us. Are we seeking the kingdom of God? Jesus says we don't have because we're selfish and we only want them for our own pleasure. And we don't have because we don't ask, but when we do ask, it's with wrong motive. Because we're not seeking first God's kingdom, but it's about getting things for our own pleasure. Now, we've talked about, and it is biblical, that God made everything that we need for our pleasure, right? God made things for us to enjoy. So God is not anti-pleasure. God's not anti-pleasure. I want to say that twice. Because sometimes what do we think? And in Christian heritage, there has been those thought patterns, those lines of belief that, you know, God is pretty much anti anything that's fun or pleasurable. Don't smile. Don't look happy. Don't dance. Don't sing. Just be stoic. But that's not the picture of the Scripture. That God wants things and has made things for our pleasure and our abundance. But God calls us to seek Him first. And to not want things for our own selfish desires, but that we're about God's business. That we use our blessings to serve God and to help others. And in doing that, we win. But people don't have because we ask out of selfishness and out of wrong motives. First point is that we are dependent upon God who provides for us. Okay? And the second one is that we should learn and desire and seek God's will in our lives and allow God to use us for His purpose. Allow God to use us for His purpose. And those are both very difficult to apply. Because it's so natural for us to want to depend on ourselves. And even if we give that up, we'll take it back. And it's hard to surrender our will to the will of God. I think that's very difficult to do. To say, God, take me and use me in Your business. Use me to do what You would have me to do. Send me where You would have me to go. Give me the strength to do what You would have me to do. Help me to teach the things that You would have me to teach. And give me the strength to bear whatever comes in my following You. We tend to want to ask those things that are selfish. What do we pray about? What do you talk to God about? I think that's a real indication, kind of where our hearts are, as to what we talk to God about. And this is an inflective question. You need to, an introspective question, I think, is for us to think about. Because I hope as we grow in life and as we mature in faith, that our prayer life changes. That our prayer life changes. Because when we're young in age or in faith or immature in our lives, I don't want this to be offensive, what do we tend to want to talk to God about? Things that revolve around me, right? Things that revolve around me. Now, is it wrong for us to talk to God about things that are important to us? I want to make this point. Because sometimes, no. No, there are things that are on our hearts. We need to talk to God about those. We truly need to talk to Him about it. And as I've shared with you before, but there is this common thought that, well, God is God and He is the Creator, and so the little things in your life are not important enough to talk to God about. God knows how many hair are on your head. If He knows that, I'm pretty sure what's going on in your life is important enough to talk to Him about. If He's down to knowing the number of hair on your head, that's okay. We can talk to Him about those things. Because while they may not be that important to God, you are. Same thing in our conversation with our children. Not everything our children tell us is all that important to us. But they're important to us, so we listen, right? And so that makes it important. But if we take that same theology, in the scheme of the world, nothing going on in my life is that important. But yet God cares. And so we talk to God about those things. And we should, because God is our Father. And a loving Father. So we talk to our family about things that are important. But what I want us to think about and to reflect on for a moment, but do my prayer life, is my life and my conversation to God, is it all about me and mine? You like that song? All we talk about is me, I, my, me, mine. Is that all we talk about? Or in our prayer life, are we concerned about the welfare of others? Are we concerned about those who are lost, about those who are sick, about our nation, about the church, about the world around us? Are we concerned about those, and do we fervently pray about those? And do we find ourselves praying that those who are hurting find healing and those who are lost find Jesus? Or is it just about me and my little tight group, of which we ought to pray, but do we look beyond that? And here's a question. Do we ask God to use us to bring about His will? Do we ask God to use us to bring about His will? That God would use us to be about His business. And when we do that, is to say, I'm willing to give up some control of my destiny. We should give up all of the control of our destiny. And say, God, take me and use me and lead me where You would have me to go. And I like to pray, and Lord, help me see those opportunities. I don't want to be blind to where God is leading me. I want a heart that wants God to lead me, and I need eyes that can see where God is leading me. But as students of the Scripture, we understand where God is leading us is not always the most pleasant, at least for a moment, right? Are we mature enough to know that? My dad used to always laugh. He said when the Lord would call them, He said it was always a great thing because it was usually always to a higher paying job. But sometimes God's calling is not always to a higher paying job or to something that appears to us for a while more prosperous. And you define that however you want to define it. I'm not talking about just financially. But are we willing to go where God wants us to go? Because I think that's what James is talking about. The reason we don't find happiness, contentment, why do we find selfishness and hatred and quarreling among us is we're concerned about ourselves when we ought to be concerned about God. We're concerned about our well-being when we should be concerned about the well-being of others. When we're worried about our will being done, not surrendering ourselves to the will of God. And in surrendering ourselves to the will of God, then God will bless us with all the things that we need and things that we have for pleasure and abundance. The more we try to grab it, the more it slips away. And so James says we shouldn't be that way. And then he uses a term that I want to close with. And it's the term adultery. The term adultery. Nobody wants to be called an adulterer. Do you? I believe it was Nathaniel Hawthorne who wrote the book. Remember that? The Scarlet Letter. Did y'all have to read the Scarlet Letter in high school? Yeah, the Scarlet Letter in high school. The A for adultery. But James says that you're an adulterous people. Not because you'd sinned sexually, although I'm sure some of them have, but that's not his point. His point was, you're adulterous in that you have sought after the world and gone after the world instead of seeking God. You have been unfaithful to God in your relationship with the world. You have been unfaithful to God in your own selfish desires. It's what James says. God calls us to be faithful to Him. And to seek His will and to walk in His ways. And the only ways that we can do that is to surrender our will to the will of God and to trust that God will lead us in the right ways. That God will bless us and take care of us. That we don't have to fight for everything, but that God will fight for us. Not that we have to think of all the right answers and get all of the right things, but that God will provide those for us if we'll seek Him, if we'll follow His paths. He will bless us. And will bless us often with things beyond what we realized. More than once, I decided I wasn't going to fight in a line. You know, this just ain't worth it to me. And I wish I could tell you it's because I'm such a holy big guy, but maybe it was something that I just said, you know, this is way more important to these folks than it is to me. And more than once, everybody fights for the front, and all of a sudden, they open another door. And they say, and it winds up being better. They all fought for this, and there was something better. And it's just like, and I just got to be honest with you. Even though it might not have been all that important to me, it's like for all those folks that fought and wrestled, you kind of want to go. Ha ha, you know. Yeah. They're listening. It's the same way with God. God opens doors we didn't even know were there if we walk in His ways. But it's learning to trust God and surrender our will to His. Selfishness and jealousy and covetousness make us quarrel with each other. The way that we have peace is to trust in God and not in ourselves. And trust in God's vision and not our own. Not our own. And that's where we finally truly find peace and life and blessing. Again, a scripture that we're familiar with, but I think it's of such importance. If God did not withhold His only Son, what will He keep from us? I mean, that kind of sums it up from a blessing standpoint, right? If our Father gave His only Son that we might have life, then He's not playing games with us. He's not going to keep us from the good things. God is prepared to give us the best if we trust in Him. And He did give the best. He gave His Son from heaven who paid the price because you and I are sinners. And remember, we talked about sin always has a cost. Always. Always has a cost. And Christ paid the consequences for that we might have life. He gave His life that if we believe on Him and are willing to confess His Lordship before men, if we're willing to repent of our sins and not live the ways of the world, but walk in the ways of God, be faithful to God and change our ways and be washed in the waters of baptism, when we come in contact with this blood of Jesus that cleanses us, then we become children of God and heirs of eternal life. And that we receive the blessings of our Father who is the King. Our Father is the King. I'm going to say that again. Our Father is the King. And He shares good things with His children. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.